So Daniel 6, 1-9, over the other side, 25-28. Daniel in the lion's den. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three chief ministers over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the chief ministers and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the chief ministers and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So, these chief ministers and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal ministers, prefects, satraps, advisers, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed and his dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
And I'm actually sorry I didn't get Mary to read the whole of that chapter now, what beautifully, briefly read it was, and such a great story. Just as we were going to pray, Dave said, we're coming to the most famous passage in the book of Daniel, Daniel in the lion's den. And it's an exciting chapter. And one that, excuse me, sorry about that. Can we have the PowerPoint up? There you go. Very exciting passage. And there's so much in this passage that I could talk about. But as you see, I've got a subtitle to give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. Daniel was the victim of a trick. And in that passage that Jesus responds to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, he's avoiding being tricked. Now, it is interesting how many of our phrases in English come from the book of Daniel. The writings on the wall, we heard last week. Feet of clay. The law of the Medes and the Persians. It's an incredible book. We get so much from that book. Oh, have I not turned it on? That might be a good idea. Well, no, it probably is working, but I have to turn it on. Oh, there you go. Talking the way the wind blows. There's another phrase. And we've had a lot of talking the way the wind blows in the last few weeks, haven't we? Circumstances change and people change their views. 3 years ago in May, Boris Johnson was saying it would be terrible for us to leave the EU. And then suddenly, in February this year, he announces that he's going to campaign for us to leave the EU. So many politicians talk the way the wind blows. As circumstances change, then they change their way of speaking, their way of acting, the way of speaking to the nation. And we've even got it today. The EU, leaving Europe doesn't mean leaving the EU. Sorry, leaving the EU doesn't mean leaving Europe. And we do the same thing. We change our way of acting when there comes a crisis. Now today, in this story, we have an example. There are many political machinations going on here, but Daniel is an example to us of how to respond in a crisis. So we've got the story here. Daniel is an exceptional person in verses 1 to 5. He's honest, he's decent, he's clever. And so these satraps, these leaders, these administrators want to trick Darius the king, who should have known better being over 62 years old, into putting Daniel in the lion's den. So they make him make an edict, a law. Nobody should pray, and probably what it means is nobody should ask help from anybody in the whole of the empire except you, Darius. You will be the center. You will be the unification of this massive empire, which I'll show you a map of in a minute. So if not, then if anybody asks, they could go play with the kitties. They can go and be in the lion's den. So Daniel, what does he do? He doesn't change what he always does. And of course he suffers this trick of the satraps. Now here is this is the first Persian Empire. Now you want to ask, why did Darius name 125 administrators and three major administrators? Well, that's the reason. It stretched almost to India and right into Europe. It was a huge empire. So he needed good administrators. The organization of that empire, or it would fall apart. And these other administrators and satraps knew that they needed to have a point of unity. And that unity was going to be to get rid, the unity was around Darius and to get rid of this person who didn't ask Darius for help, but had another source of help. He was intelligent and he had integrity. And these satraps, you've heard this phrase before, haven't you? They come over here taking our jobs. Well, they come enslaved, taking the jobs, and they're going to be president of the whole of the Persian kingdom. So they're going to bring him down. And that's what their plan was. And Daniel was going to be given ultimate power. Absolute power in the empire. Verse 3 says he was clever. He had ability to administer. An amazing, intelligent man. He's probably very old by now. But he had integrity. Now, ability and integrity don't often go together. You've got people who are exceedingly intelligent and very clever indeed, but have absolutely no integrity. You would not turn the light off if you were in the same room as them, because they were that clever but didn't have any integrity. And was constant. It's actually on the lips of Darius, a pagan king. Daniel made God, the God who you serve continuously. He was constant in his service to God. Abraham Lincoln actually said, if you want to test a man's character, give him power. And I don't know if you remember in the first part of The Lord of the Rings, when they're saying, 9 rings were given to mortal men who above all things desire power. And power corrupts, or tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Daniel was going to be given ultimate power, but was not corrupt. So Daniel's personality, he had integrity. And we have these dangerous plotters. The only way they were going to get at Daniel is if they could get at him through his faithfulness to his God. The only way they would make this man fall was by using his own integrity against him. And so they plot. Come on. Sorry, I'm having trouble this morning. It would have been idolatry for Daniel to pray to Darius. And that is the sticking point. Daniel knows. We've seen Daniel throughout this book. Up to here I will serve you, but no further. And at this point, Daniel says, no, I will not pray to anybody else. And so what does he do? He prays. Interesting. And this is the lesson, this is the big lesson of today's passage. Daniel continued to do what he always did. And verses 10 and 11 emphasize this. He doesn't go, oh my word, this edict, I'd better go pray. No, it makes the point that Daniel just continued to do what he always did. He went up to his room, he opened the windows, and there's a lot of debate of why he pointed towards Jerusalem. But Jerusalem was where he really felt his identity was. It was where the temple had been. It was the dwelling place of God. So Daniel, in his prayer, in his own, we could call it spirituality, looked to God for his identity. And so he prays, when he prays towards Jerusalem, towards the God who he's trusting in. I don't know what's going on. Sorry about this. He kneels down, which shows humility. We don't often kneel to pray these days. I can kneel, I just can't get up again. But kneeling shows humility. Darius, in contrast, wants everybody to ask him for help. Daniel knows that although he was going to be made president of the First Persian Empire, he still humbles himself before God. And so much of our prayer demands from God rather than humbles ourselves before God. Now, again, I'm going to keep saying it. This is what Daniel always did. He didn't change and kneel down and say, oh, Lord, help me. No, he did what he always did. Can you move it on for me? Oh, dear. Okay. If it's not going to move on for me, I'll... It's the next one, please. So verse 10 and 11, he is praying. He knelt down in humility towards Jerusalem, and he gave thanks to his God just as he had done before. Just as he had done before. So Daniel didn't change. When he came to a crisis, he did not change. He simply went on and continued to do what he had done before. And of course, he does suffer for it. They go to the king, and the plotters get him thrown into jail. Into the lion's den, even worse than jail. Into a cave, sealing it up. And of course, this panics Darius. He's his most valued administrator. He's not going to have his most valued administrator. He's losing Daniel, so he panics. But Daniel simply continues his spiritual life. He is looking to God for his salvation. And so often we don't do that. We panic. We look to ourselves for our salvation. Daniel looks to God as he always did. That was Daniel's modus operandi. It wasn't that he changed. He simply looked to God. So in his prayer life, in his spirituality, he knew he only had one source of his strength. And that was God himself. Now the plotters fail. And I don't know if you noticed, we didn't read it. And I thought it was it was said from the heart when Dave said that would be really yucky. We're back. There we are. Darius Pass. Let me just go back. So Daniel praying, this is the main point, continued to do what he always did, which was look to help, for help from God. And I'm going to come back to this, because if we want to be able to cope in a crisis, we don't change what we do. We do what we always have done, which is look to God. So Darius panics. I think it's rather interesting to compare. We could have compared Daniel and Darius, because Daniel and Darius are being compared here. Darius, I'm going to be prayed to. And when things go wrong, he panics. He doesn't know what to do. Daniel, who is the victim of this, when it happens to him, he just continues straight along the same line. He doesn't change. He simply does what he always does, which is to pray, to praise God, and to ask God for help. Darius ends up asking Daniel for help. So Darius panics. And Daniel is preserved. I looked for, there were whole bunches of pictures where Daniel is sitting there in the lion's den, kind of, hi guys, nice little kitty. But I think he was probably terrified. Well, I would be if you were in a den of lions. But Daniel is preserved. It mirrors Daniel 3 with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And they say, we will not bow down to your statue. And we will be saved from the fiery furnace. But if not, we still won't bow down to your statue. And Daniel is the same. He is going to continue doing what he's always done. And God found him to be innocent. Daniel is actually, he's not only preserved, he's vindicated as well. So Darius says, I issue a decree that every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He rescued Daniel from the lions, from the power, from the mouth of the lions. This is similar, again, to what Nebuchadnezzar says at the end of Daniel 4. Heaven rules on earth, and God preserves Daniel. And these words, they're from a pagan king, like the words of Nebuchadnezzar, but they are true. His dominion will never end. God rules. And that is why Daniel just worships the Lord. And we learn about God. He is the living God. He is the God who is alive. He's not a dead idol. He's not stone. He's not wood. He lives. His kingdom is endless. And this is our God we're talking about, who can be trusted. He rescues. He saves. He saved Daniel. And he performs signs and wonders in the heavens, but also on earth, because he saved Daniel. So, what can we learn? Well, carrying too many alliterations can be quite painful. I hope you notice the alliterations. I hope you notice the alliterations. DP, DP, DP. Oh. I've wasted about an hour of my week. It's terrible. Yeah, look at it on the website afterward and appreciate it. Well, we can suffer for doing the right thing. There's no doubt about it. In fact, doing the right thing is likely to make you suffer. And persecuted Christians all over the world could give testimony to this. Just the witness that we have had of those Christians in Syria who have died being beheaded by ISIS with the name of Jesus on their lips. They did the right thing. They were like Daniel. They didn't turn. They were constant. And we must not let threats of suffering change from doing the right thing. Daniel is a great example. And this is where there's loads of politics in Daniel. But here we have a very personal story of a very personal man going through a crisis. And what can we learn about prayer? It focuses our mind on our true identity. Our identity in Jesus Christ. And we've even got a poster at the front of the church that says that. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. And prayer focuses that. It focuses our mind on who we are, not to the rest of the world, but in the eyes of Christ. Prayer should be constant, regular, in all circumstances, not only emergencies. And I would go further to say, it was Daniel's regular relationship with God that enabled him to go through those crises. It was Daniel's regular relationship with God that helped him go through that crisis. And we see it in Jesus as well. Jesus constantly goes and speaks to his Father. The way Jesus could get through the cross was by constantly speaking to his Father. And it's the same for us. We can bear crises if we constantly have a close relationship with God. It's that which preserved Daniel. We can look up to him as a great man, but it was that that preserved him. And we do need to humble ourselves in prayer. We, as Western peoples, have gotten very powerful. We've got all sorts of things we can look to help us get through crises. But actually, humbling ourselves before God is the real way of getting through crises. So let us look to Daniel as an example of a person who could go through a crisis because he was constantly praying to God. And this is that God. It is the God who is alive, he is active, he's able to save, he's in control, whatever our circumstances may be. He is the Saviour. But he is also free. He's not under any obligation to save Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego or us from difficult circumstances. And as we go into communion, we've got to remember, haven't we? Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, "May this cup pass me by, but not my will, may yours be done." And the Father let him go through the cross. So although he can save, he's got no obligation to save. However, our Saviour who went through the cross was put in to a cave, sealed over by a stone, who came out the third day alive. This is why we can celebrate communion, not a commiseration or a memory only. We take part in the life of the living God because of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you that you are a God who does save. We thank you, Lord, for the example of Daniel, that he was constant. He prayed constantly. He constantly maintained his relationship with you. And we confess, O Lord, that many times we ignore you. Many times we forget that you are our Saviour. And help us, Lord, to not forget that. Help us to be constant. Help us to be constant in looking to you for our very identities. And may we be like Daniel. Even in crisis circumstances, may we continue to trust in you. It's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we ask. Amen.